What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hit well left field, and back goes Juan Rivera, and Andrew Jones having a night to remember. 3 home runs. First 3-homer game in 7 years. Who is this guy?
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, we're going to use Andrew Jones as kind of like the flashpoint, but I think it's a lot bigger conversation with him. We've kind of talked about it with Russell Wilson before. So, Hall of Fame tonight, I believe it starts at 5 p.m. Central, where they'll start talking about the outcome and the votes and everything like that. Now, there is the Baseball Hall of Fame vote tracker, which is I've always found to be super helpful. There's 199 public ballots out there right now, plus 11 anonymous or unverifiable ballots. So essentially they have like 54% of the ballots out there. And so it looks like Carlos Beltran, CC Sabathia, Ichiro, and Billy Wagner are going to make the Hall of Fame. You have to have at least 75%. But one of the people on that list, his 8th year in Hall of Fame contention, is Andrew Jones. He's currently at 72.9%. So I understand, like, hey, maybe he could still make it. Usually, people who don't make their ballots public vote at a lower Hall of Fame rate. And what I mean is, like, his percentage is likely to drop from 72.9 as opposed to go up. And so I was reading this article on ESPN, and they took a look at the first 10 seasons of Andrew Jones versus Ichiro. First 10 seasons of Andrew Jones versus Ichiro, 57.9 B-War for Andrew Jones, 54.8 for Ichiro. Now, I know Ichiro is an interesting conundrum because he did not ever seem to register on the WAR schedule as much as you would think, given how good everybody thought he was.
Because he was bunting off of Mike Bassick.
Yeah, he was a lot of singles, and he wasn't a lot of walks.
Yeah.
So his on-base percentage, I don't want to say we didn't care about it, but your on-base plus slugging, your OPS, I didn't realize how low his was, but we weren't thinking about those things. So in 2001 through like 2010, I don't know how much I ever even looked at or cared about somebody's OPS.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of on-base percentage, but it was almost like, hey, he has a good eye. He'll take a walk. So we worried so much about batting average, and because he had 200 hits every year and he had a high batting average, you never looked at on-base percentage or your OPS, on base plus slugging, back when he was playing.
So sometimes I think even Ichiro's WAR is a little distorted, but it is weird when you think about it that Ichiro is currently listed at 100% of the votes. It's not that that's weird. It's that Andrew Jones is so low. So consider this. First 10 seasons, I told you, Andrew Jones, 3.1 advantage on the WAR. The rest of their career, Ichiro played 9 seasons, had a WAR of 5.2, a B WAR of 5.2. We're not going to get into the logistics of all that right now. Jones, a B WAR of 4.7 in 6 seasons. So neither one of them had particularly stellar back ends of their career. And yet Ichiro is a no-brainer, absolute, and I think he should be a Hall of Famer.
He's 100% famous.
Yeah. Whereas
100% famous, Kevin.
Whereas Jones.
Yeah, some people don't even know his last name because he's so famous for his first name.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I'm sure a lot of people listening that are like, yeah, younger are like, yeah, his last name was Ichiro because that was on his jersey.
That is fair. But Jones is not going to make it this year. And it's his 8th year. And so essentially the crux of the article was you look at his first 10 seasons when they were complete and you look at Ichiro's first 10 seasons and they were right there neck and neck. Plus add to the fact that Jones was one of the most feared defenders in the game. Although obviously people feared Ichiro's ability and everything like that as well.
Him and Torrey Hunter for that 10-year period, approximately late 90s to about 2008-ish or so, those were the two best center fielders in the game defensively, I would say by far.
Okay. And so all of this to say, what if he would have just retired then?
Jones?
Yeah. Is he a no-brainer Hall of Famer? Because this is the...
He'd retired at 29 years old.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting.
Incredible years.
Yeah. It would. Or if he would have to maybe not retire, just had like a major injury where like he just can't play anymore. And you're like, we're putting him in the Hall of Fame. That being said, I don't know, kind of Donnie Baseball. Don Mattingly kind of had a career where his back gave out on him and he had only a 10 or 11 year career and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Which I also think is weird. And so the comparison here is the James Dean Marlon Brando problem. So both are, have you ever heard of this particular conundrum?
No clue what you're talking about. Is there a picture of him eating at a restaurant or something?
No.
One died early. Another one had a long career.
Exactly. And both of them were great. But James Dean died and you saw, if you want a more contemporary reference, I would use the Nirvana analogy. Nirvana is the best for some people and can never be talked about negatively because you didn't get all the like, oh, we're going to try this out. We're going to do this.
James Dean didn't do Island of Dr. Moreau.
Exactly. Because they died. Yeah. And so you're like, man, they were great and they'll always be great. And that's how I'll always remember them. Marlon Brando did The Godfather. He was amazing. Superman, Streetcar Named Desire, whatever else. But then, as Corey just said, he was in the Island of Dr. Moreau. And you're like, what the hell is this?
I still don't know what I saw, Kevin.
Okay, and that's fair. And so the idea was sometimes it's better to not necessarily
leave him one
die.
More?
Yeah, but like to retire with everyone being like, oh, damn.
You could have been the best.
Yeah, because like Mike Trout, I think about. Albert Pujols, I think about. Not that they should have retired, but can you imagine if they both would have retired after that 10 or 11 year run? You would have gone to your grave thinking if they would have kept playing, and same thing, Griffey, you can make an argument about
Griffey,
that.
But Griffey was so good so early because he lived up to the hype that he captured the audience and it doesn't matter. Like whatever happened at the end of his career doesn't matter because of what he did in that section. Andrew Jones doesn't necessarily have that same pizzazz that came along with it.
And
Griffey never even won a championship.
And so I wonder, those three players, if they all would have retired, would everyone have like treated them with, I know baseball used to be different, but like you still hear people to this day is like, oh, it's just a shame Mickey Mantle had issues with alcoholism and injuries because he could have been the best. And but like, if they would have just cut it off, would you have been like, I don't know, dude, Mike Trout played for 10 years and he won, what was it, 3-4 MVPs, finished second 3 times. He's probably the best player I've ever seen. And now he's still one of the greatest.
He's only 32.
And that's crazy because it feels like he's 38. But now, whether it's with Trout, you saw the rest of Pujols, you saw the rest of Griffey, you're like, man, they were all-time greats, but you should have seen that first 10 years. And I wonder if Jones is in that category for Hall of Fame voters where they're like, yeah, no, I saw his whole career. Half of it was really good and the other half was really not good.
It's amazing when you look at just the complete and total drop off at 30 years old. I mean, it is shocking from him being a consistent somewhere between a 260 and a 275 hitter pretty much to then 222, 158, 214, 230, 247 was age 34, and then his last year at age 35, he hit 197. Like it was just shockingly bad. But this being said, I know that maybe this isn't part of your topic here, but maybe it is. If we're gonna do this in this category,
yeah,
Juan Gonzalez is a Hall of Famer.
And I think that's a great point. And then I think about if you want to take in other sports, and I'm really glad that somebody brought this up because we've talked about this before. This is the way I felt about Russell Wilson. I thought Russell Wilson was going to the Hall of Fame. And then when you see him bounce around, now I'm like, I don't know about that anymore. And so I'm curious what y'all think about the concept of, you can describe it however you want. Do you think you can play yourself out of the Hall of Fame?
I do.
For on the field reasons.
I
understand the stuff with Omar Vizquel and Curt Schilling and all this other stuff. I'm just saying, strictly on the field, can you play yourself out of the Hall of Fame?
I think so, because playing against Andrew Jones in my time, I thought for sure Hall of Famer. And we do this thing, I can't remember who does it, I'm sorry, I think former Chicago Cub. He gives us all a ballot and we turn it in. I decided to make mine anonymous. Like, he posts it on Twitter, and okay, I'm like, I don't want people getting after me for voting for this person or not voting for that person. I can't remember, because I thought about Andrew Jones for a while. I think I ended up not voting for him. That being said, that was before Dave Parker got in.
And that's an interesting comparison, because now I wonder if, like, he gets to the veteran committee, if people are you kidding me?
Yeah.
For like 10 years, he was the best fielder out there.
Yeah. And a great hitter.
Yes,
for,
that is true.
To your point, till about age 29, he was a great hitter.
And so it is confusing.
He was just and then he was a horrible outfielder, too. Think about his Ranger time. They had to DH him a lot. He was 32 years old when they're like, dude, you can't move anymore.
And so I don't know what the solution of that is, because if I didn't do an in-depth study, I kind of wish I had now, about your Griffey's, your Joneses. Is that just a byproduct of, it's not that they got bad so early, it's that they were good so early.
Yeah.
Because, like, how often do you see a 19 or 20-year-old, like, already showing out in Major League Baseball? I know it happens, but it doesn't happen a lot.
Not a lot.
And so I wonder if that's sort of like, no, you get your defined 10 to 12 years of greatness. Maybe you'll start when you're 25. Maybe you'll start when you're 19.
Ichiro started when he was 27.
Yeah, and and he still got his defined set of greatness, and we don't even consider all the stuff that happened in Japan. Well, some people do, some people don't. But, like, I wonder, do you only get that amount? And if you're like, as soon as I slip, if I want to protect my legacy, I know it's weird, we're going back to legacy again, he might not make the Hall of Fame because he kept playing.
Can I tell you guys something scary that I heard from the Jared Sandler, Corey Seager, Josh Smith interview? And we'll see how it plays out. I can't remember if it was Josh Smith talking about Corey Seager or Corey Seager talking about his career. But Corey Seager pretty much said, to your point, when this slippage happens, he's done.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we signed a 10-year contract and we're only 3 years in. Could he retire that contract and just say, I don't need the money. I'm not as good as I want to be. I don't want to play at, to your point, I don't want to be a guy batting sixth and DHing. I'm done. I'm good. Thank you. I played shortstop, the position I wanted to play. I played it for as long as I could. I'm not hitting the way I used to hit 3 years ago or 2 years ago. And I'm not saying this is this year for Corey Seager, but that statement made me think, hey, in like 2028 or something, could Corey Seager go, I hope it's not that quick, but could Corey Seager go, well, I'm not playing shortstop anymore and I'm not hitting 275 with 30 bombs.
And I wonder if us Rangers fans would all be like, man, if we just had Corey Seager this year, and then you just project what his stats would have been based off of what you remember, versus Corey Seager's like, no. I stepped away because I knew it was going down.
Here's what I don't know. Did Andrew Jones know when he left the Braves after 2007, where he hit 26 homers and 94 RBIs, which was his worst year since he was 22 years old? Did he know it was going to go bad? Because there's no way he could have thought at 30, I'm done. Was he meant to? I don't know. Like, did he think he was mentally done? Like, I'm just not going to put myself through the training I need and the exercise I need. And I don't know. Like, because I think you're asking a great question, but how does somebody know when they've been that great, you know, as a perennial all-star that I still should have 5 good years left in me? That did he know at 30 that I don't have much left in me? I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm asking that question because, to your point,
feels like the team athletes, tells you first. It feels like
that's how we all retire. Teams tell us we're not good enough.
Yeah,
anymore.
The team you were with first that brought you up. I mean, the Braves know what they had when he was 19 and saw where he was. They're probably looking at contract and they're like, "Hey, man, it's time for us to move on. And he's like, all right, well, I'm not ready for that. There's no way I'm ready for that. I still got bills to pay, or I got to earn about this much more. I need another year for this. That's got to be it. And then the game tells you. Like, it's your hands not being as fast or whatever, but I think it's first the team that has you, and then it's the you learning the game is telling me right now.
Oof. By the way, the Dodgers didn't think he had it after they, I don't know if they traded for him, but I'm looking at his contract status throughout his career. So the Dodgers paid $21.4 million on his release.
Wow.
And the Rangers signed him to pretty much league minimum because he was still getting paid $21.4 million from the Dodgers, and the Rangers picked him up for the pretty much at that point league minimum $500,000.
Man, that, and so something to go along with this, I really do respect all the people who make their Hall of Fame ballot public.
Oh, you don't respect me.
Because
I don't really have a real Hall of Fame
that
ballot.
That was not meant as a shot at you, Mike. Because it
maybe one day.
I don't think I'm a writer.
It opens you up.
You ever see me write?
I would love to read that.
Throw up.
It opens up. It opens you up for criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And so Evan Grant has a Hall of Fame ballot that I appreciate. That he also wrote an article, kind of explaining his Hall of Fame ballot. So his selections were Carlos Beltran, Mark Burley, Andrew Jones, Dustin Pedroia, Andy Pettit, CC Sabathia, Ichiro, Chase Utley, Billy Wagner, and Ian Kinsler. Now, I had two issues with this, but one of them I thought he explained very well. I think the idea that Ian Kinsler is a Hall of Famer is patently absurd. Like, there is no way.
Can we call Ian Kinsler so
yes,
he can say it to his face?
I do, and I think he'll agree with me. There's no way that Ian Kinsler should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He was a.
I'm good with a reporter that covered him, voting that.
And so
I'm perfectly fine with that.
But he gave more information about that.
Yeah.
He said, "I think Ian Kinsler and Dustin Pedroia's careers mirror each other pretty well." And he also voted Dustin
Pedroia. Teammates at Arizona State.
Yes. He also voted Dustin Pedroia.
Interesting.
Into the Hall of Fame, and I was like, okay, if that is your bar, like, I get you, and with the senior,
yeah, I can disagree with him, like, I can definitely disagree, but I appreciate the context.
Absolutely. And with the senior candidates who, by the way, made it in, like, you might have just totally reshaped what the bar is for the Hall of Fame. But to go along with it, the one vote I didn't like that he put was Andy Pettit, because in his article he talked about there will be no reward for steroid users, and he talks about why he didn't vote for A-Rod and, like, issues with Bonds and McGuire. Andy Pettit used steroids. He got busted multiple times for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time he was like, I can't believe it. This is the first time ever. And then he got busted again.
What?
So, yeah.
Steroids in my system?
Yeah, so I just don't understand the Andy Pettit vote, if not the vote for some of these other steroid
users. I agree with you there. If in that whole era, I have to kind of look at it side-eyed anyway. The whole Mike Bassick era, I can't really look at and go, were they or were they
maybe
not?
Maybe Andy Pettit would have been a 10-game winner with a 5.5 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he would be hosting the show with us.
Maybe I should have taken. Oh.
Okay, I don't want you to retroactively think you missed the boat.
Mike, if you did that now, do you think you'd get it out there and throw?
I take roids now.
Okay.
Oh, I take testosterone replacement therapy from Men's T Clinic.
Okay. Okay.
Different form.
All right. So
I don't know, but I've talked to former players that didn't take it too, and we wonder. I mean, I guess. It's good. We played under the legal system, playing against people that played under an illegal system. And we got punished for it because we weren't as good. And by the way, no owner or general manager cared at all that the guys were taking steroids. They loved that they
people
were taking steroids because it made their team better. It made them win. I mean,
sure.
it was not a negative thing in the world of baseball to be doing it, unless players who weren't doing it were like, and I'm at a major disadvantage. And then, unfortunately, that maybe caused multiple players that thought, I'm not going to do it. And then they were losing or not as good, and they said, well, I'm going to do it to try to keep up with these guys who are now kicking my butt, who I used to be as good or better than.
That too.
A couple of things. By the way, somebody goes, why is Ichiro just now eligible for the Hall of Fame? Believe it or not,
he played forever.
Yeah, he played longer than you might have remembered.
He actually played for the Mariners at the end.
Yes, in 2019.
Yeah.
And so if you thought I was too harsh for Ian Kinsler, I'm going to say this.
You are.
Ian Kinsler had a damn fine career that most ball players would aspire to.
Rangers Hall of Fame.
But in terms of the Baseball Hall of Fame, he was a four-time All-Star and cracked MVP top 20 once and cracked MVP top 10 never.
The 214, he should never be inducted in the Rangers Hall of Fame. He's a disgrace.
Oh, dude?
From the 214.
Dustin Pedroia, he didn't play for
Kinsler,
our team. So.
They said Kinsler. I disagree with you on that. Like he,
I just didn't think he was worthy
it's
of the Hall
I think
of
it's
fame.
The line, right? I hope they go 100-0 and 162.
I don't know. This other text he has said what he said about Puerto Rico's national team during the World Baseball Classic was disgraceful. I have to admit, offhand, okay. I don't remember.
That. Yeah, was that recently?
I don't remember that, so I'll have to go look
yeah,
that
I'll have to
up.
Go look it up.
All right, there you go. Thank you for that spirited conversation, gentlemen.